1 of the Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into the Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is Brian Lockhart from the Marine Corps Movie Minute. Welcome, Brian.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rob.
Or Billy, or however you want to be known these days.
Wherever you want to call me, I will answer to.
I'll try to keep that a little nice. I don't know well enough to start making up names for you.
But I will respect you more if something negative, for having the courage to do it.
Nah, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to turn people away that quickly.
That's my job. That's what I'm here to do.
Okay, great. No problem. So episode 81 starts off with Hiltz setting off artillery from a garbage can and goes all the way to the point where Sedgwick is crouching on the windowsill. So this continues with the scene that we discussed last week, where we basically have the secret meetings between Hiltz, Henley, and Goff, where everyone's trying to figure out what they're doing. Obviously, we figure it out in the end because they show it to us. So this is the following morning, and you have Hiltz walking through the compound all alone. He's somehow got this red shirt. Which, it's not a Star Trek reference, but he's still a red shirt at this point, which makes you wonder where he got that red shirt, because he's always walking around with his, with his sweater, with his, his gray sweater that he's always got on him. But at this point, he somehow got a red shirt, which, again, through the course of this week, we'll figure out why he's wearing a red shirt. He walks over to a garbage can, which is resting on a log, and somehow just, he throws something in. And makes a little bit of an explosion, which you'd think would make the guards run out right at that point.
Yeah, because we'll see this week that they do come out with all the commotion.
But they come out 2 minutes later.
Yeah, they come out way after the explosion, which, did we ever figure out, did they ever show, I was trying to think back of like where he would have gotten whatever kind of firecracker, that cherry bomb, smoke bomb. It kind of reminds me of like when a high schooler throws, or a middle schooler throws like a cherry bomb into the toilet or something. Like, it didn't seem like it was super powerful, but did they ever explain where that came from?
No, they never explained it. That's one of the things that this movie likes to do. There's a lot of things that just, they leave our imagination to try and figure out how they were able to procure certain things.
Yeah. I had a small theory based on something that's said later about, don't smoke, don't get it on your clothes, which we'll talk about. So I didn't know if maybe something that they've been doing was flammable, and maybe he concocted a little extra bang with that. Right. I don't know.
My assumption is it is flammable with whatever what they've done. But
right.
I'd be interested to see how someone can make a a little cherry, because it's not like he's made a Molotov cocktail or something like that where, you can see that he's throwing something into the garbage can, unless maybe he put, actually, maybe he put some of the vodka in the garbage pail and just threw a match in. Could that have done something like that?
Yeah, I was thinking he threw a match in, but what he was throwing it into was what I was unclear. It's like he was definitely lighting something. And that's what I assumed. It was a match being thrown into something that was already set up in that cannon.
Oh, okay. And actually, when you look at it, the only thing that shoots out is really the cover of the garbage can.
So, right. It's not like, something caused a minor explosion inside the can that sends the lid flying. And it's an effective cannon blast, though, for their purposes.
Yeah, but you'd think you'd get shot by doing that.
No kidding.
I mean, they use a lot of liberty in this movie about places where a lot of the prisoners should have gotten shot. I mean, come on, we're an hour and 20 minutes into this movie, and nobody's been shot yet with all of the stuff that they've been doing. But in general, I mean, for a war movie like this, there's a very low death toll on screen. Let's put it that way.
There's almost a Hogan's Heroes kind of feel, especially, I think, to this scene, because, obviously that was kind of, that was a comedy, and it was like, oh, these guys were, they had their way to get out, and they would kind of make fun of the German guards, and the German guards were incompetent. And right now, these, it's the Luftwaffe, right? They're the ones that are in charge of this. They're showing their incompetence a little bit. Like, they don't come out and check the explosion. They basically let these guys make moonshine, and, you know, they're having a part, you know, 4th of July party, or, you know, it's, yeah, where, you know, they get away with a lot. Yeah. Let's just say.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Hogan's Heroes only came out 2 years later. So they didn't make, I think it's the opposite. I think Hogan's Hero based some of the things that they did on what they do and the way that the tone of this movie plays things out. I mean, Hogan's Heroes based on Stalag 17, which came out in the, it was a movie in 1953, but it was a play even before that. And so Stalag 17 is, I guess you can call you, it's a drama, but it also has, it's also peppered with humor throughout, sure, just like the way that this movie is. You know, I've mentioned this numerous times, you know, over the months that I've been doing this. You know, they get the tone of this movie perfect because, you know, despite the tragedy of the end of the movie, the way they get there, they don't make everything seem too heavy. You know, they're able to keep it light and fancy foot, I guess you can call
it. Yeah, you know. You know, the soundtrack, you know, the themes, you know, that's used in this, the music, yeah, definitely music helps with Bernstein. That. It's a catchy, like, the main theme is catchy, and a lot of what is done throughout the movie is just a play on that theme. And I find myself after watching the movie last week again, just in preparation, and I've been watching these, you know, scenes over and over, and I've just been walking around the house, you know, humming that theme to myself. It just, you know, of course, my kids are like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Don't worry about it. It's a great song." You know, I keep trying to, you know, get my daughter to be at least a little bit interested in the movie because she's a big Karate Kid fan, and Steve McQueen's son is in the Karate Kid. He's Dutch, so
right. And you got Chad McQueen there.
Yeah. So I'm always like, so he's not Steve McQueen. He's Chad McQueen's father is what I keep telling her.
And I guess it hasn't worked yet.
It has not worked. No, she doesn't care.
Well, because they no one screams, "Get him a body bag."
Get Although they body probably bag. They could in this movie at a few points. So
yes,
I think it would be a little inappropriate, but they could do it.
Yes, yes. So again, it's just very strange that the guards aren't coming out, and you don't hear like whistles. Again, the guards who aren't coming out, who are sleeping, okay, fine. But what about the ones in the towers? No one's going to notice what just happened here?
Yeah, like, okay, so there's, I mean, I don't know how, you know, spoilers you want me to be for, like, I think it's like the next minute we do see a fully dressed German guard come out. And I think right. He has his gun drawn. And, yes,
I think it's we'll be discussing, I think, on Wednesday. I think we get to that.
Okay, so, you know, I won't go too far ahead with it, but, you know, all right, so he's probably like, "Oh, I got to get dressed and be presentable." But you're right, there's always a fire watch. There's always guys in the guards. You know, there's always probably guys walking around. Where are they? You know, there's no siren or horn that gets sound. You know, sounded as soon as they hear the explosion. Granted, it's not that very big, but you would think that would draw their attention.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm assuming that you would agree with me. I mean, we both have a military background, okay? If you're on guard duty somewhere and you hear even a little explosion like this and you see smoke, you're going to do something. You may not shoot right away, but you're going to raise an alarm.
You're at least going to look over and go, "Hey, what was that?"
Exactly. What just woke me up? Yeah.
But maybe they're like the stormtroopers of Star Wars, where he's like, "Maybe it's just another drill." and they're just, they don't care.
Anything's possible. Right. So the minute moves along, and we get to see a flag being raised by Hendley. Did you count the number of stars on the flag?
I did not, actually. I'm guessing okay. There.
How many should there be? In 1942. 2 or 43. I always forget when this movie is like, supposed to be taking place.
48 stars?
That's correct. 48. Yeah. And they got a flag with 48 stars.
Nice.
So my first question then is where did they get a flag with 48 stars?
Yeah, I was wondering, I'm like, did they make this? Because I was wondering, like, where did they get a flag? Yeah. And I do wonder if they made it. you know, because obviously there is some tailoring going on in this movie.
Yeah, but what they're going to tell Griffiths, you know, besides making me a suit so that I'll be inconspicuous when I'm walking through the German, you know, marshlands, but can you make an American flag, and not just one American flag? We'll talk about this a little later in this minute. You have to make me two American flags.
Right.
You know, it's again, when you don't pay attention to everything going on in the movie, it's not the biggest deal.
Yeah.
But it is a little annoying when you're going through it like this and you're curious to know where the hell are they getting an American flag from.
I mean, if you want like a no prize, I forget a lot of the British characters' names, but I think that the main guy that's in charge of the Brits
Ramsey. Ramsey.
The one with the cane. Roger's Ramsey. The Richard Attenborough, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, the one with the cane. Didn't he mention early on about something about the Red Cross hadn't been through in a while?
Yes.
So they maybe
for the Red Cross, but the Red Cross is giving an American flag.
Well, maybe somebody smuggled one in, and clearly they like, I'm giving it a no prize.
Okay, you know? No. There are a lot of things that were smuggled in via the Red Cross in the real story. I mean, as you know, this is based on a real story.
Yes.
Of a real escape and a real tragedy of what happened. I think 2 weeks ago, we had a long discussion about all the different things that were smuggled in. Most of them were sports equipment, and within the sports equipment, they smuggled in a lot of things to try and help with the escape attempts and stuff like that. The question is whether they would have sent them an American flag.
Probably not. They would have probably raised a little bit of...
It would have raised a flag.
Yeah. See what you did there. or maybe not, because clearly the guards were incompetent. It's almost like reminds me of a scene maybe from like a Naked Gun or something, where when they're smuggling something in a cake, and the guards are clearly pulling out something that is contraband that would be used to escape, and they're just completely ignoring it. You know, this what these guards are like now. Although I did, you know, another thing I did read, I thought they said some of the German guards themselves, but I could be wrong. Obviously, they blackmailed some, and some felt sympathy for them. But I know that I thought some local townspeople actually helped these guys when they escaped. And I thought they said some German. I hope I'm not mistaken it now. Like that, maybe even some of the guards kind of turned a blind eye a little bit of what was going on.
Maybe, but again, what were they turning a blind eye with? You know.
Well, you're right.
You know that's the question.
Yeah.
You know, are they? You know. But again, what I mean about turning a blind eye from this perspective, that, you know, if we're talking about an American flag, you know, they would have to find a way to get the American flag.
Yeah. And honestly, you would think that is something that they would not allow, because it would give them too much, almost like too much morale, something to rally behind, something to look up to. Like, you would think that they wouldn't want them. You'd want these guys to basically be beaten, because even in the beginning of the movie, the German, you know, the general or whatever, the colonel who's in charge, he says,
Von Luger.
Yeah, he's like basically, hey, look, we can all just sit here and sit the war out in comfort, basically, if you guys stop trying to escape. So he just wants to chill. You know, he's like, we're out of the front lines if we're just hanging out here in Poland, you know.
Exactly. No, 100%. I agree with what you're saying. But it's I think your idea that someone sewed it is probably the best scenario of how they would have gotten it. Because especially since, I mean, there aren't that many Americans in the movie, at least. I mean, in the real escape, there were some Americans that were there helping out, but they were all moved before the actual escape happened. There weren't any Americans in the actual escape. So I think this is another way for John Sturges to wave the American flag, you know, show that, okay, this is a movie about all these British prisoners. You know, we have our three token American prisoners. Two of them are, you know, top billed. We're still going to want to put in a scene dealing with, you know, showing the patriotism, the American patriotism. I'm curious to know whether it was part of the whole idea to have the release of the movie on July 4th. You know, because it was released July 4th, 1963.
It's definitely, I would think this is a patriotic movie, considering it is mostly about British, you know, soldier airmen. But it's still, and of course they wanted to Americanize it for an American audience by throwing in some, you know, James Gardner and Steve McQueen and having them be a big focus of the movie, even though they're surrounded by a bunch of, you know, British folks. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a, it's like these guys never gave up, even though they were in prison for years and all that good stuff. So it's definitely a good jingoistic rah-rah movie. And of course, you know, we got to Americanize it for an American audience, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this exactly. is how, yeah.
And they do a good job of it. There's no question about that.
Yep.
We see him raise the flag. And then at this point, you start seeing all the extras start coming out of the woodwork. You know, they're opening up the doors and everyone start coming out to take a look at what's going on. You know, then we get the three Americans standing there. And they all decide that they're going to take a little swig of what they got. You know, they're interesting canteens. You know,
yeah.
I wonder if that's what canteens look like at you know, during World War II.
Yeah, they kind of look like I would almost think they're like milk cartons. You know, that's kind of what they look like, some of them. Well, they have pretty much any type of cup there. They have the canteens for sure. And some of them look like the traditional canteen that we would get where the canteen goes in the little metal kind of like coffee cup type part of the canteen. Mm-hmm. And but then they just have like kind of random metal cups there that almost look like cans. Yeah, like repurposed buckets or repurposed cans. I got some metal coffee cups too, but yeah, these guys definitely are doing their canteens for sure. And they're all different too, because even one, like James Garner's, has a hook on his, like a handle for like a coffee cup.
Yeah. Now I just actually looked in the original script, going back to what we were discussing at the beginning of the minute about the, you know, the explosion. So in the original script, it says after the explosion, you see the guards reacting with their burp guns ready.
Oh, okay.
but I guess they cut that out.
Maybe it just happened off screen. We're just not meant to see it because the focus is on, you know, our three Americans who are basically redoing or acting out the what was the song called? Like there's a famous painting actually. It's like the Yankee Doodle, or it's yeah. It's called something else now. Yeah,
they play Yankee Doodle. It's the
It's Spirit of 76 painting, actually.
Yes, that's what
it is. It used to be called the Yankee Doodle, but I think they renamed it. Painted by Archibald Willard, and was for the centennial, 1876 centennial. And I think it's in Massachusetts. You can go see the original painting now, and it's been duplicated multiple times. But that's basically what they're doing. You know,
it doesn't look like the three of them don't look like the people in the real painting, but still.
No, for sure. But you know, it's you always see that in like these kind of like Revolutionary War kind of movies where it's like the kid or the injured, you know, drum and fife, you know, they're at the front of the company marching into battle, and you know they're injured. In fact, in the Spirit of 76 painting, the one guy does have a bandage on his head. You know,
yes.
They're definitely mimicking that.
Right. No, there's no question about that. The way that they're doing it. Again, this is, as we said, this is you know, waving the American flag very high in the middle of all of the prisoners start coming out. They all take a little swig because, as we saw last week, you know, they all were trying the vodka that they made. You know, you have Hiltz put on his vest, and Goff puts on the bandage. Then you have Henley, you know, picking up a drum, and then they pick up another flag, which again, this is a, you know, Revolutionary War flag. It's a little smaller than the other flag, but it's still a you know, makes you wonder where they got a flag with 13 stars on it.
Yeah. They had to make it too.
I mean, it's something that doesn't. I wouldn't think that any of them would have actually had this in their, you know, in their bag when they bailed out. You know.
No, I would. You might argue that somebody did have an American flag, you know, as a, maybe a good luck charm. They would not have a original 13 colonies, you know, Betsy Ross flag, you know, probably with them. Yeah, the odds exactly. of that is slimmer, you know.
I mean, we've discussed over all of these months so many strange things that different characters have that they either bailed out with or were able to somehow get. I mean, you have someone who has a guitar and someone who has a trumpet. You know, these are not the normal things that you would have in, you know, when you're bailing out.
It always, you know, I always thought it was weird that Steve McQueen had a baseball glove, but knowing that the Red Cross brought sports equipment in,
exactly.
you know, that could have been maybe something. Yeah, but knowing him too, he could have maybe had it with him as a good luck charm. Like I never exactly. fly without.
But it's not just I never fly without it. But when you bail out, you got to make sure you grab it.
Yeah,
you
right.
You might have
right,
it in
right.
a pack behind you, but when you pull the. You know, pull the ejection seat. You got to make sure it goes with you.
Yeah.
And then you have Hiltz right, put right. on his hat in a strange way. He puts it on, you know, sideways, which also somewhat goes along with the original painting. The guy does have a sideways hat. You know, the third guy. They're actually not in the same order, because in the Spirit of 76, you have what would be Goff on the right, Henley in the middle, and Hiltz on the left. But here they switch that. They have, you know, Hiltz on the left, Goff in the middle. They basically just move Hiltz to the other side, which might have been something that Steve McQueen requested, you know, so that he gets more exposure, you know, in the film.
I can see that.
And then they, you know, start marching. Yeah, the whole thing looks a little goofy the way they do it. You know, and you also see that Hiltz isn't able to play the flute as well as...
Right, right. In fact, there's a few times he looks down at it too, like he's lost his place. I think it's meant to be goofy though, because the whole thing is meant to be a lark.
Exactly.
You know.
So they start marching around the compound. You know, we see all the extras running after them. Then you have Danny, Willie, and Ashley Pitt come out of their rooms. Also, all of them, in the process of getting dressed. And then the question is asked, Willie says, what is it? So then the response we get from Ashley Pitt is they're celebrating the revolution. You know, which I'm curious to know if Brits are as aware of the fact that it was July 4th at the time.
Well, probably not. You know, obviously they, you know, they're well aware. And I think, what do they call it? Rebellion Day or something like that. like nowadays. But the way it's... To me, the way it's played is, you know, these Americans were planning this for a little bit now, and these guys, it was just Tuesday. You know, they just didn't realize what day it was. And then once they started doing this, they're like, oh, it's the 4th of July. Like, it's exactly. the rebellion. You know, so it's like, yeah. I think it was meant to, like, they weren't paying attention. I wouldn't be surprised if half these guys didn't know what day it was, or, you know. Obviously, somebody's keeping track, but I could see it being very easy to lose track of time being in this situation. And a lot of these guys may just not have even realized
again,
it.
Again, depending on what year this film is supposed to be taking place, whether it's supposed to be taking place in 42 or 43. So in 42, July 4th came out on a Saturday, and in 43, it came out on a Sunday. So regardless, it's a short weekend. They're not getting a long weekend for it. You know, it's...
Right. Yeah. You think the Germans would have given like, hey, we're going to observe Monday as the day off. You guys can just chill.
It's not even a question of them having to have a day off. They don't really do anything any of the days. It's not like they're making them. It's not a work camp. They're not making them do things and stuff like that.
Well, in a way, it is kind of a work camp, but it's
exactly.
self-imposed.
Exactly.
It's self-imposed. Yeah.
And then the final shot of this minute is something that we could probably talk about a little more tomorrow. But it's hilarious because you see Sedgwick climb out of a window, and he's barefoot, and
he looks no shoes.
Like he actually looks like a monkey with the way his feet are. You know, his feet are maybe Gollum, the monkey.
Yeah, I honestly thought of a monkey.
Exactly.
I mean, seriously, like a primate. Yeah, he's just it's just funny, especially because it like the minute ends and kind of pauses for there with him and just chilling in the window. So it's very funny.
We can continue talking about that a little bit tomorrow if we want. Do you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
No, I really don't. I'll save my discussion of Yankee Doodle for tomorrow then, because it still plays.
All right. Yeah, sounds good. All right, so why don't you tell everyone how they can get in touch with you?
Well, I'm with the Marine Corps Movie Minute, and the best place to find us is on Facebook, the Marine Corps Movie Minute Podcast, or Instagram is a favorite of mine, and we're the Marine Corps Movie Minute Pod, if you would like to check me out and check out my show about all things Marine Corps and movies.
All right, excellent. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher you might be using to listen to this show. You can send us an email at thegreatminute@gmail.com. Our Facebook group is The Cooler. Our website's thegreatescapeminute.com. And you can contact us on Twitter at greatescapemxm. So, until tomorrow, tally-ho!
Tally-ho!